There are some things in life that are really hard to say. Some things that, man, you just don't want to have to say these words because they're awkward, they're uncomfortable. And so I thought we could talk about a few of those this morning. The first is goodbye. Nobody likes to say goodbye. Absolutely nobody likes to say goodbye, whether your kids are going to college or your grandkids are leaving. Goodbye is a hard word to say. We don't like to say that. I love you. Sometimes that's a hard thing for people to say. It's hard to say I love you, to actually say those words to somebody else, whether you're dating or even to a family member. That can be very difficult. You were right. That's a very hard word. I see a lot of ladies kind of elbowing their husbands and saying that's hard for the men to say. But it's hard to say you were right. That's admitting something. It's also hard to say I'm sorry. Those words sometimes aren't natural coming out of our mouth in a lot of ways. It's sometimes hard to look at somebody and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry about that. It's also hard to say that I forgive you. Sometimes people hurt us in such a way that it's hard to say, yes, I forgive you, and actually mean those words. We can say them, but do we mean them? Excuse me, I'm coughing. It's hard to say. It's also hard to say I lost my job. If you've ever been in a situation where there's been a job transition, you've been laid off or something else, it's hard to come home and tell your family, hey, I've lost my job. Those are some hard things to say. It's also hard to say, will you go out with me? If you can remember back to when you were dating, that's the hardest thing to say to, as a guy, to a girl, will you go out with me? Because in my case, the answer was always no. So I kind of got used to that. But that takes a lot of courage to go up to somebody and say, will you go out with me? That's hard to say. How about I lied? Sometimes, you know, I know kids, they say one thing and you know it's a lie as a parent. And it's hard for kids to say, yes, I lied. Sometimes it's hard to say thank you because we don't want to admit that we needed help from somebody. So it's very difficult to say thank you. And then I think one of the last things that's hard to say is I was wrong. We never like to admit that we're wrong about anything. You know, it's hard for people in Atlanta right now to say that I was wrong when it came to the Super Bowl, right? A lot of people thought they were right. But I think there's one more that I would add to that list that I think in some ways is harder than all those others. And that is to say, I surrender. I think saying I surrender is one of the hardest things for us to say because our culture teaches us never surrender, never give up your ground, never give in, never give an inch. Our culture conditions us to never, ever surrender. And yet, it's exactly the opposite in Scripture. The Bible teaches us about totally surrendering to God. But what does that look like? What does total surrender to God look like? That's what we're going to look at today as we continue to go through the Believe series. How can you and I totally surrender to God? There's a great story in Daniel 3. About a king who is the biggest egomaniac you can imagine, King Nebuchadnezzar. He is so crazy, king of Babylon, that he has a statue erected. We don't know if that statue is of himself or if that statue is of one of the false gods that he worshipped, but he had this statue erected, and he said any time that anybody in the entire country hears music, they need to stop what they're doing, and they need to bow down, and they need to worship this statue. Well, there were three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused. They were not going to bow down and worship this false god. They were not going to bow down and worship the king. And what they do is they show us what total surrender is like. Now, when King Nebuchadnezzar heard this, he asked these men to come see him. And this is what he says in Daniel 3, 13 through 15. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will then be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" King Nebuchadnezzar gives an ultimatum. You either bow down and worship me and worship the cultural gods that I have built a statue of, or I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. He drew the line. He says, you have to decide who you're going to worship. And that's kind of a decision that all of us have every day. We have to decide, are we going to totally surrender to worshiping God in every area of our life, or are we going to bow down and worship a false god? Now, I know that probably all of us would say, I would never do that. I would never bow down like all of the people in this kingdom had to King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, when they heard a certain sound, they had to stop what they were doing. It didn't matter what they were doing. It didn't matter if what they were doing was important. When they heard this sound, they stopped everything and they bowed down and worshiped. Now, we would all say, absolutely not. We would never do that, except when I get this out. Ringtones, texts. How many of us stop what we're doing, no matter where we are or who we're with, and we have to see what that notification was, what the sound was? Some people have it all night. They get up and check. If you go to the bathroom, some people get up and they check different things. So we're not as different as this text is, as this text teaches us. Sometimes we bow down when we hear a sound. And see, sometimes we bow down and worship the god of perception. That we are so concerned what people think of us as parents. Well, if my kids aren't doing this and aren't involved in this, we bow down to that god. We bow down to the materialism god. Well, I have to live here and drive this and wear this. We bow down to what people's perception of us is more than what God's perception of us is. If we're being honest, sometimes we are so concerned what other people think of us that we will do anything to keep that image out there. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm a disaster, I'm a mess, I have all kinds of challenges, we bow down to public image versus bowing down to God, as much as we don't like to admit that. And that's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar, he had elevated himself above God. He thought that he was a god. He thought that people should bow down to him because he was so great. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused. In fact, when the king came to them, this is what they said. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And what we see from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that they surrendered to the power of God. They surrendered completely to the power of God. They knew that God's power was greater than the king's power. They may have worked for the king, but they served God. They worked for the king, but they served God. And they said, the power of God is greater than the power of a king, than the power of man. And they totally surrendered. They knew that God would deliver them, whether in this life or the life to come. They had totally surrendered to the power of God. Whose power do we surrender to? Do we surrender to the power of God to get us through difficulties, to get us through situations? Or do we surrender to our circumstances? How many times have we surrendered to our circumstances? I can't count the amount of times in my life I have surrendered to my circumstances, where I believe my circumstances have more power than God has power in my life. Well, God, you don't have the power to provide this for me or provide a way out for me. How many times? And what we have to understand is total surrender means that we surrender to the power of God in our life. That we don't know how God is going to save us, but we know God is going to save us. We don't know how God will get us through this situation, but we know God's power will. We don't know how God is going to provide, but we know God has the power to provide. See, we either surrender or we sell out. And that's harsh, and I know that. And I've been a sellout a lot in my life. I sell out to my circumstances. I sell out to the king. Where if we're totally going to be a follower of Christ, we have to surrender to the power of God in our life. That means we have to surrender our children. We have to surrender our marriage. We have to surrender our businesses. We have to surrender our future to the power of God and not the power of our circumstances. It is so easy. And I'm sure there were people in the kingdom that agreed with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who didn't believe that the king should do this. But they said, well, if I don't, what will people think of me? Well, if I don't, you know, the word will get out. But they stood up while everybody else bowed down. See, we're called to stand up. Because that's what Christ has done. If we look at the Ten Commandments, what are the first three commandments about? surrendering to the power of God. I am your God. Do not worship any others. Do not make for yourself an image. God is telling us that he wants us to surrender totally to his power and not to our circumstances. It's hard. It's really, really hard because surrender goes against everything that our culture has taught us. Every way that we have been brought up, it's never surrender. But if we're truly going to follow Christ, we have to surrender to the power of God. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were clear. They knew that God's power could save them, but they also said, but he may not want to. And that's okay with us. Wow. They said, he can, but he may not. I want to read this to you. Here's what they said. They said, he's able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from it. Then verse 18, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods. They said, even if he does not. See, they totally surrendered to God's will. That's hard. That's a hard one. Totally surrendered to God's will. They said, God might save us from the king. God might not save us from the king, but it doesn't matter because we've surrendered to God's will because we know that God's will is perfect. That's hard. That is really hard. If we're going to totally surrender, that means we say, God, your will. When we pray that prayer, the Our Father, your will be done. That means, God, whatever your will is for my life, I trust it. I know you're going to work it out, whether that's relationally, physically, financially, whatever way it is. I'm surrendering my will to your will. And that is so hard. Think about the story of Job. I mean, Job was this awesome guy. And one day we read in Scripture that God and the devil are having a conversation. The devil says, well, of course Job likes you. He's got everything. God says, no, Job's my guy. You can do anything you want to him, but you can't kill him. And look what happens to Job. He loses all of his children. Can't think of a worse thing ever to deal with. His wife curses him. His friends say, man, what's your problem? He loses all of his finance, all of his business. He has sores. I mean, you think, well, Job has lost everything. He's got to be mad. But listen to what Job says in Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways in his face. Job had totally surrendered to God's will. Yeah, he was going through a hard time, but he knew that God would provide, and God did provide. We read later in the story that God just doubled and blessed Job in ways that Job could never imagine. See, we got to have a different mindset to surrender to God's will. The world says never surrender. We must surrender to God's will. Paul talks about that. He says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've got to transform our thinking. And it's amazing how God always works. And so, you know, I'm working on this text this week, and a guy comes into the office who I've known for a long time since I moved here, and he says, hey, I wanted to talk to you. And I said, okay. And he says, you know that I own my own business, and it's a very successful business. I said, I do. And he says, you know that I love the Lord. And I said, I know that you do. And he says, I think God has called me to sell my business and to go back to school so that I can really help people come to know who Jesus Christ is. And he's an older man. He's not a young guy. He's an older man, grown kids. And he says, I just think this is what God wants for my life. He says, it makes no financial sense. He says, no sense. And my wife and I are going to move somewhere in the country, and we have no idea where. But we believe that this is God's will for our life. And what he said to me, I thought was really amazing. He said, we don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know where we're going to be. It's a mystery. And he said, that's really kind of cool because God's got this. I can't do anything about it. I can't tell you where I'm going to live. I can't tell you what school I'm going to be to. I can't tell you how my business is going to be sold. I can't tell you how I'm going to sell my house. He says, but I know that this is God's will. And I just thought, God, what a great example that you gave to me of totally surrendering your will to God. He said, I just know that this is God's will. And I believe that it is God's will for his life. And he's been faithful to that because he's totally surrendered to the will of God. And there was a peace that he had and a joy that he had because he didn't know what was next, but he knew who had next. and that was God. And that's where we need to live. We need to live where we totally surrender to God's power and we totally surrender to God's will. And when you surrender to God's will, and I'm sure all of us can think of those moments in our life where we have surrendered to God's will. It's scary, but it's exciting, and God provides. It's when we try to control our circumstances that we get bogged down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we surrender to God's power, we surrender to God's will, but really what they were surrendering to was the sovereignty of God in their life. The sovereignty of God means that God is in control and you and I are not. They surrender that God is sovereign over everything, our circumstances in our life, because the king, he wasn't messing around. Nebuchadnezzar said, fine, you guys don't think I'll do it? He says, turn the oven up 7 times hotter than normal. And so the guards that came and took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up to the fiery furnace died because of the heat. And he threw them in. He threw them in. He threw them right in the fire. Now, you can only imagine what can happen. I get near a grill, I get singed, I'm crying. These guys were thrown into a fiery furnace, and you thought, well, they're dead. How could anybody survive a fiery furnace? Listen to what happens. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men we tied up and threw in the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. He looked in. He didn't see 3. He saw 4. Now, this may have been Christ himself. We don't know. But at the very least, it was a heavenly emissary. These men were in the fiery furnace. And when they came out, they were not harmed. There was not a hair on their head that was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. God was with them. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. God was with them because they surrendered to the sovereignty of God. Whether they were in that fiery furnace and burned up or whether they did not, they knew that God was sovereign over their circumstances. Now think about this. What's the fiery furnace in your life? What's that circumstance that if you don't surrender to the sovereignty of God, it's not going to work out? There's fiery furnaces in life. Some of us are in there right now. If we totally surrender to the sovereignty of God, we say, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do what's in my best interest. We will come out the other side. But so often we try to fight our way out of the fiery furnace and we end up getting burned. We end up getting singed in life. I know I have done that so many times in my life. Because I haven't surrendered. And this whole story is really a metaphor because when you look at the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saved, they were saved completely. And that's how God saves us through Jesus Christ. God will save us completely, holistically, when we totally surrender to Him. God doesn't want our partial surrender or our part-time surrender. He wants our total surrender to the power of God, to the will of God, and to the sovereignty of God in our life. Anything else, and we're going to get burned. We're going to get singed, or we're going to experience a different kind of fire. See, surrender goes against everything our culture teaches us. But listen to what Jesus teaches us. He says this, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? See, we've got to lose our life. We got to stop selling out and we've got to start surrendering if we want to win. See, total surrender equals total victory. We all want total victory in our life, in every facet. But the only way we have total victory is by total surrender. Anything less means we're not going to get total victory. Look, we're not, just because we are followers of Christ doesn't mean we are immune to challenges. Doesn't mean we are immune to problems. Peter says this, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. I'm not up here to say that if you totally surrender to God that you are not going to go through difficult times. Don't misunderstand me. We will. But God will be with us. God will give us total victory. God will be with us in the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from the eternal fiery furnace when we totally surrender that God's power is greater than our circumstances. We surrender that God's will for our life is better than our will. We may think we know what's best for us, but God knows, and that's what total surrender is. Do we surrender to the total sovereignty of God, that God is greater than anything else that we can do? Somebody I think that really understood this was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That name may be familiar to some of you. He was a Lutheran pastor that stood against Hitler, another man who asked people to bow down before him. He absolutely was against all that Hitler stood for and all of the Nazi regime. Well, he was arrested and he was thrown into a camp and he was awaiting trial, which would eventually lead to his death. But he understood what total surrender was. This is an excerpt from his journal. He says this: "We still love life, but I do not think that death can take us by surprise now. It is we ourselves and not outward circumstances who make death what it can be, a death freely and voluntarily accepted. Faithless vacillation, endless deliberation without action, refusal to take any risks, that is real danger. I must be able to know for certain that I am in God's hands, not in men's. Then everything becomes easy. Even the severest privation, no earthly power can touch us without His will. And danger and distress can only drive us closer to Him." I'm going to ask Rachel and our music ministry to come up. Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood what total surrender was about because Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood who Jesus Christ was. He was the Savior and Lord who totally surrendered to the Father's will so that you and I could be saved from the fiery furnace. I don't know what fiery furnace you're facing today. Maybe it's a fiery furnace of doubt, disbelief, fear, the future, relationships. I don't know. But I know that when we totally surrender to God's power, I don't know what your circumstances are, but God's power is greater than your circumstances. And I know circumstances can be strong, can be hard. Surrender to the power of God. He will deliver you. Whether that's addiction, whether that's fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, surrender to God's power and not your circumstances. Surrender to God's will for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, to prosper you, to give you future and hope." Surrender to God's will, God's plan in your life, in your business, in your relationships, in everything that you do. God will deliver you. Surrender to the sovereignty of God. You and I are not God. We do not have ultimate control. God is in control of your life and my life. We got to surrender to that. We can't fight that. I want to encourage you to pray as we hear the music to reflect. Have you totally surrendered to God? Or maybe are you still trying to defeat your circumstances, determine your will, or be sovereign over your own life or your own circumstances? Surrender to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Total surrender brings total victory in Christ.